All right, welcome to episode 31 of ThatJugOffice.com podcast. We're here.
That was the single most stupid intro I've ever heard in my entire life.
Would you like to do it?
No. Very stilted.
No, that's all right. Please continue.
No, I will not be stilted on the air.
I will not be stilted.
That's a shame because I bought you these stilts.
Oh, thank you. I was hoping somebody was going to make the like, walking around on stilts joke.
Okay, anyway, this week we are a four-piece, and we've got a whole lot to talk about.
That's three pieces.
Sarcasm.
And a half, really.
All right.
We do. We have a lot.
So,
let's start with Jay.
Yeah.
What have you been doing this week, Jay?
Shit. No, I've been watching Californication. On the Netflix stuff.
It's a very depressing show.
It is, but I kind of like it. I don't know. I like Dave Duchovny as an actor. He's a funny guy.
He's funny.
Yeah, he's
a lot
funny.
Of nudity.
Oh, okay. That's not what show that is. I, yeah. I had almost forgotten.
A lot of nudity in it.
I like the idea of a man drowning in a sea of pussy.
Yeah. That's really what the whole concept is.
Yeah. That rectifies.
And he has a 13-year-old daughter. No, he doesn't.
You saying
he has a 13-year-old daughter. He like justifies his life to her. So it's kind of like that balance.
Yeah. He does, in the first episode, I believe, sleep with a 16-year-old girl, though.
He does, but doesn't know she's 16 at the time.
That's true. He does not know that. And she beats the shit out of him, too.
Yeah, and then she blackmails him. Spoiler.
Well, I already knew that.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking.
That was like in the third episode.
Oh, I don't know how far you got.
I think the show's a little bit past the spoiler warning date.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it? I don't even know how many seasons it is, and I thought it was already over.
I think there are five. I stopped watching it after two. And two had a really good finale. Three started. I watched the first episode, two episodes. I'm like, no, not really. Not anymore. I'm done.
So yeah, I don't know, aside from California.
That's what I could have done with Babylon 5 after season.
There you go.
Apparently they decided it was good enough to go for another three seasons, so I might be missing something, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, money.
You guys can't see my fingers rubbing together here,
yeah,
but anyway.
The
whole thing is about,
money, yes.
About a guy getting...
Can't.
The guy is all about... Like, it's about a guy getting pussy. So I guess that could fly for more money.
I don't think it's really about a guy getting pussy. I mean,
no,
it's
watch
is.
Season
well,
two.
It just well, maybe it is then.
Yeah,
I'm still on season one.
It really is though.
All right.
So watch season two.
Aside from Californication, I've been playing Tomba on the PSN because I like that game.
All right.
What game is that again?
Tomba.
You don't think it reminds
me
of?
You're gonna have to describe it because I've never heard of it.
Okay. It is a side-scrolling. It's a 2D side scroller. With adventure elements like Metroid and RPG elements like Castlevania, sort of.
Cool.
So it's you know it's kind of like Castlevania.
So it's a Metroidvania game.
Kind of, but
okay.
Not really. It doesn't.
That,
it's not as
that
deep as that
kind of genre, though.
You know, the game reminds me of when I saw the picture. It was like a caveman. Reminds me of that game Alex Kidd on the Genesis.
How does that remind you of Alex Kidd?
Yeah, you just go around playing rock paper scissors with people all day.
Yeah, but that game was bullshit because you play rock paper scissors against a computer who cheats.
Yeah.
Like, you
game.
Can't win that
wait,
game.
Wait,
no, it's not.
Wait. Did you say Genesis?
Yeah.
Like. So, wait, you're saying...
Actually, no, wait.
Fucking Sega
wait.
Fucking Alex Kidd was on the Sega Master System, man.
Was it... Hang on, wait. Was it Genesis or was it SNES? Because I never bought the game. I played
Alex
with
Kidd on. Was on the Sega Master System. There was one game on the Genesis, but it was god-awful.
Okay. You're pretty much a caveman kid.
I mean, it was on the Genesis.
You're a caveman kid.
You're not
you
really
go
a caveman
around,
kid. You're just an ugly kid.
I thought you were a caveman.
No.
I don't remember. You would go around and you play rock, paper, scissors with people all day.
That's a game?
That's pretty good.
It's a
video
whole game.
You seriously? Want to play a really hard old video game? Go play like Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Okay, oh, no, that game's that. Fucked because that game... Well, actually, that's... Tomba's made by the same guy who designed the original Ghosts and Goblins, which is Ghouls and Ghosts, but whatever the heck.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Ghouls and Ghosts. That's the game where you get to the end, and it's like, oh, by the way, yeah, you're not at the end. Now you have to fight your way all the way back. It's like, oh.
And by the way, like, you die so easy in that game.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty much, what, two hits and you're dead?
It was like one of the inspirations for I Want to Be the Guy.
Hmm.
There's an entire section of I Want to Be the Guy that's a shout-out to Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
That game, that bit...
It's not
actually,
fun.
I thought Contra
actually, it
was
is fun.
It is fun.
Contra was a pretty tough game.
No, you Contra, you just put in the Konami code and you're good.
Yeah, but if you don't put that in,
yeah,
like
but
one
the
shot
Konami code exists,
you
so...
About, you want to talk about one-shotting? That's one-shot.
All
yeah,
I'm saying is, cheat. You said hard and old, and I said nothing. So, remember that.
Why well, do right. Like it hard and old?
No, but... You do. So, okay, moving on. What'd you do this week?
Yeah.
No, I am not. I like. Anyway.
Well, anyway.
I like to move it.
Not that old.
No, but I am older than the rest of you.
That's
anyhow.
True.
We're all
what
like
did I do
12.
This week? I pretty much...
I'm all track and draw.
What the fuck am I listening to?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Peter just walked in.
So this week...
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Yeah, he likes the Genesis. He probably likes post Black Album Metallica.
Oh, nothing.
Kidding.
Hey, yo.
Wow.
He meant it.
What, you're not a fan of Saint Anger?
Yeah, Saint Anger was my favorite album.
Oh, God.
So good.
Song, too.
Bob Rock. Ooh. Anyway.
Wow. So I've been working on this, the Diablo 3 spreadsheet that basically, if you put in your character's offensive stats, will automatically calculate a whole ton of stuff, including the DPS per point of each offensive bonus, your total DPS, and equivalences for how many points of each offensive bonus are worth how many points of another offensive bonus, given your existing stats. If you guys are playing Diablo 3, I recommend you go check it out on the site and download it, because it's really awesome. It's up to revision 1.03 as I'm fixing stuff based on feedback I'm getting from people. And besides that, I have been trying to get my character to level 60 as quickly as possible. I just got to Act 3 of Hell right now. And I've actually been having a lot of fun with a build that I didn't think would still work even in Hell after the attack speed nerf, but so far I've been having a decent amount of success with. It's based around using Archon all the time, and so it's an all arcane build. My passives are arcane, the passive that gives you a slow effect on arcane damage, which I forgot the name of right now. And
I don't know any of
Galvanizing
those.
Ward, which makes your armor spells last longer, useful because it stacks with the armor buffs from Archon, and Glass Cannon, of course, because DPS is always better. And then, but my active spells are all like centered around. I have Magic Missile with Seeker, but that's sort of like just because I need to have something there to like run away and shoot around corners when I can't. And I'm not in Archon form, and I have Arcane Orb, but like doesn't matter. My four major like. Abilities, keyboard abilities, hotkey abilities are Archon and Energy Armor, Force Armor. Right now I have Force Armor, which reduces maximum hits that would be more than 35% of your health to 35% of your health. Wow. That doesn't really work as well in Inferno for reasons I won't get into now. But at level 60, I will be switching that to Prismatic Armor, which gives you, in addition to the 65% armor bonus, gives you a 40% resist bonus. This is really awesome in an Archon spam build because Archon itself also gives you a 40% armor boost and a 40% resist boost, and these stack with a boost from energy armor. So it combines to be 105% armor boost and 80% resist boost. So that's pretty significant. Significant enough that you can pretty much get away with just like going out and face rolling things in Hell difficulty. And then my other abilities are the familiar with the spark flint rune for the 12% bonus damage, and magic weapon with a force weapon rune for the 15% DPS bonus. So basically, I you know what I do is I activate all three passives, go find a mob of enemies, pop Archon, and try to keep rolling through a map, continuously killing new enemies to keep Archon going for as long as possible. I've gotten through like each level of the keep depths on one pop of Archon, basically. That's right? Great, yeah. Now, it's good because you can just roll through face rolling things in Hell difficulty. Even elite packs, I just stand there and annihilate them. Like, you know, I've almost died, but not frequently. But the bad part is then you have to retrace your steps back to the beginning of the entire level looting.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time to stop and loot when you're doing this.
Yeah.
So, but it's fun. It's at least it's a build that in Hell difficulty lets you have a fun smashing face as opposed to like a typical Poison Hydra Blizzard kiting build where you like, you know, aggro stuff and pull it back, chipping away at it, which is very effective but kind of boring.
Yeah, I'm actually interested for when you get to Act 3 Inferno, because myself and I think Steve as well, when we first hit Act 3 Inferno, it was like a brick wall.
Yeah.
As far as difficulty difference. And
it's true.
I actually had to reformat my whole build. I have a new build that I'm actually working on. It seems like I kind of missed the little curve for it, because not everyone realized the same thing that I realized when I hit Act 3. Now that the 1.03 is out and they do less damage or whatever, Demon Hunters can essentially tank now. I'm going to post some stuff later, but I'm actually interested to see what kind of stuff you come up with when you get to that point. I know Steve restructured his build, but I really want to go through like a whole bunch of stuff like in videos and stuff about our thing, about like what we use as our characters and stuff like that.
So you mentioned that before, and I'm totally interested in doing that.
Once you hit Inferno, I'm going to do like a four part
thing. Because like right now I don't know if anything other than the typical kiting build is going to be viable in Inferno. Prior to the attack speed nerf, I really think that this Archon build would have been amazing in Inferno.
It's viable until you get to about Act 3.
But you know what? I want to point something out. Because like you posted a couple of videos on the site by that guy, Kriparian.
Yeah, yeah.
Whose bar videos I've been watching since like forever.
Yeah.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
And intelligent too.
And he also beat the game on Inferno.
Yeah.
Like hardcore Inferno,
he beat the game with a wizard.
He did with a barbarian.
Yeah, he was the first person.
His friend was a wizard.
So they teamed.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really good bard player, and so he's like what I would consider an elite player, right?
Yeah.
Like every fucking challenge there is pretty much done. And now he's frustrated that there's nothing more to do. So he's saying like, "Hey Blizzard, like here's what you could do, or else I'm gonna stop playing." Okay, so. He really emphasized what's called a sword and board barb, sword and shield.
Yeah.
And I feel that was necessary before patch 1.0.3. But, I'm going to slam the table more. One of his complaints is that, you know, don't make shit easier because it's less fun for me. And as much as I, and other elite players, right? As much as I respect that, I find that I'm able to do a build now that is a lot funner than like kiting shit with a sword and shield with monsters a little bit easier to kill. They're still challenging in Inferno, but like I see the potential for dual wield or for like two-handed and not getting fucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I like that. I want to have that sort of fun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, but the whole thing is the attack speed nerf arguably, and I'm going to have to test this myself, took away a lot of the build flexibility for Wizards in Inferno.
It took away from my Demon Hunter as well.
I can't
shoot shit down enough anymore before
okay,
I get
to with Demon Hunters, it's a little bit different, because prior to the patch, Demon Hunters had one build. One. They'd already converged on one.
Yeah, it was
correct build.
It was crit spamming, but attack speed was definitely necessary.
No, right, but it was all like sharpshooter.
Yeah.
It was all based on abusing sharpshooter and nether tentacles. There was no other option that was even close.
Yeah, now
right?
With my new build, it's abusing grenades.
Right, but it's like at least there's a little bit more diversity there, right? With Wizards,
sounds like
the attack speed nerf took away viable builds from Wizards rather than adding them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
But here's another thing about nerfs, because it seems like a lose-lose situation. If you make a game and characters have different abilities, and then one character has an outstanding ability because of certain item buffs or whatever, okay? Regardless of the reason for that person being better, let's say they nerf it. What happens is there's always going to be something that stands out. And as long as you keep nerfing that one thing, you bring everything down as a result.
Well, that's
it's all relative, right?
That is their design intention. It is the wrong design intention, but that is their design intention. The correct answer, instead of reducing the difficulty or the damage output of monsters and infernos, instead to make other buffs better. Because players will feel like it's a more rewarding experience when they can take those monsters that were giving them trouble and now stomp them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, by nerfing your ability but then reducing the damage as well, you feel like you're hitting them with a wet bat.
Yeah.
You're just like...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it takes all the satisfaction out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to play glass cannon mages. That's what I play in every RPG where you can play one.
Yeah.
And in this game, attack speed made it a potentially viable choice. But now, I don't think that it is.
Yeah.
So that's
well,
my
one
big
thing
disagreement
that,
with that.
One thing that
you should allow different play styles, you know?
Yeah, you should. Actually, I was...
I think that's Jay's big argument with this game.
My big argument with this game is that there's no different play styles. It just eventually converges to one fucking thing, and then that's it.
Yeah.
And then it gets nerfed, and it converges to something else, and then it'll get nerfed. And
no, but it's not even, like, there's no real room to play around and mess... Like, I can't make a weird fucking melee wizard because you can't do that. It's not possible. Like, there's no... You just can't do it.
No, well...
No, I mean, you can't do it.
One thing...
You sort of can, but it's not worth it.
Because you'll
reduce your damage output too much to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. The whole thing was, like, I remember in Diablo 2, like, yeah, it was a bad idea to do that too, but you could potentially make a sorceress in that game with a special skill where your regular attack did massive amounts of damage. You'd have to build your character a specific way with stats and stuff, and it's not really a good thing, but you could have done that. Like,
yeah.
I like the ability to do weird things with characters if I want.
I agree.
I like to think outside the box. Like, it's the same reason why I played Ragnarok Online for so many years, because I built a defensive melee class, which no one thought was viable, yet it was. I built, like, all kinds of weird shit. Like, there was people who built spellcasters who did absolutely nothing but screw up other spellcasters. Like, their job was to disrupt other spellcasters and not do any damage, and they would completely decimate entire guilds because their entire, like, DPS pool from all their wizards in the back lines couldn't do anything because you had one guy basically, like, stopping everyone from casting spells and blowing up their protection lines and all kinds of shit. But they weren't killing anyone, they were just stopping other people from killing you. I like being able to do
weird shit
like that.
Yeah.
Diablo 3, it's just like, you want to build a character? Well... No, these are the characters you can build. You can mess around and tweak it a bit, but you can't. You can't choose your. I don't know. Especially the level cap.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't understand the 60 level.
The level cap, what it did. I mean, this is still us talking about what Lorenzo has been doing this week, but like the level. Somehow we ended up in Diablo 3 talk.
I got nothing to say. Don't worry.
Whatever. But like the level cap made it so that once you reach level 60, all items essentially become level 60 items, and what that means is. Every item that you get when you're in hell difficulty is worthless. It makes you no money whatsoever because it's all around... You'll get weapons with DPS around 300 to 500 most.
Yeah. Most
but
level 60 rares
anyone...
that you find are shit as well because
yeah,
of the DPS.
But with the level cap being the way it is,
yeah.
Why would anyone farm hell? You can't because you just get nothing but garbage.
Yeah.
So
well, I think
you can
act
only...
four. In hell,
no,
you
no,
can
I mean,
actually drop levels,
you get
high 61. Level 62, right?
Right.
No,
or 61,
I think.
But it's like a really, really
no,
long
no, but
time.
I've been farming Act 4 hell for essentially gold because all the items I get are garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't, with the level cap in place, it essentially makes all items at level 60 need to be either godlike, or they're garbage.
Mm.
So you either get weapons from Inferno, which means you need to either farm a shit ton of gold and buy them on the auction house, or...
Well, from what I
what
understood, Act 1 of Inferno isn't that hard.
No, it's not, but you don't
no.
even get that many good items on that.
You don't get good items
well,
on
that.
Well,
not even
we've done countless. Nah, we've done countless butcher runs since then.
You get subpar shit.
We've only had one person find a good amulet, and it was like a $2 million amulet. And it was a nice ammo, but nothing else has been useful. Like, I've actually sold everything.
The highest DPS weapon I got in Inferno Act 1 was 700. And that's a two-handed weapon. That's not good.
No, that's not.
It's not good.
Like, they've created a weird wall that the only way to jump over is with money. And you guys have been able to do that because you guys actually spent your money wisely, whereas I fucking blew it on a bunch of garbage. But it's just kind of weird, you know? Like, the whole point of Diablo... The whole point of Diablo 2 to me was building a character. It had three things that made it good for me. It was building a character, being able to build a character my way,
yeah.
And the item hunt. Diablo 3 has nothing but the item hunt. But the item hunt is fundamentally broken because of the level 60 cap. Mm. That is what I think. Because you got level 60... Like, there's a fundamental difference between a level 30 weapon and a level 40 weapon.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, there's fundamental differences between level 60 weapons... And level
like
60,
62
or 63 weapons, but the gap is much wider.
Yeah,
it's and you can only get those in like the like. It just
yeah.
it makes no sense. It just doesn't. I don't know.
It's certainly an imperfect game. I'm not. I still feel like I'm gonna play a lot more, and I'm
I honestly think they rushed this game out.
I agree. They did. They pretty much released the beta.
Right, but I don't think rushing the game out is the reason for this. I think it's because this game was designed by people who were no longer really much involved with Diablo 2 because most of those people weren't there anymore.
Yeah.
And so it's people that
Diablo 2 was separate.
An opportunity to take a player base that was eagerly anticipating a game and make money off of them. So the game is not designed around you having fun. They don't give a fuck about you having fun, except in as much as it contributes to you potentially spending money on the real money auction house. That's what they care about. That's the only thing they care about. That's it. Because they sold tons and tons of copies of the game for $60 already.
Best selling game of all time.
They made a lot of their money pre-sale.
Right.
Not even...
Right. So, now, it's either people don't go to the real money auction house, and there is no continued revenue stream from the game, or people do, and you can make money from that. So, anything that drives people to the real money auction house is good for them. So, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that malevolent.
No, it's not a matter of malevolence. This is a for-profit business.
No, I understand. I don't think it's that black and white, though.
No, I think it very obviously is, because the auction house mechanic has no reason to exist otherwise. Because anyone who knows even the first basic principles of game design will tell you that killing a boss and getting awesome crap to drop is a rewarding experience.
Yeah.
Killing a boss, selling the stuff, and going and buying stuff on the auction house is not a rewarding experience. Because it doesn't feel like...
And now that you have to reduce the amount of drops.
Yeah. It doesn't feel intrinsic to the gameplay experience. It doesn't feel like a reward for smashing a boss. It doesn't feel like a reward for killing that really tough elite pack.
Yeah.
It feels like that the entire game is about funneling you into the auction house because it's the only way to get any decent gear at all. Because it is.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Now, the 103 patch is essentially, if you really understand the way it works, it's designed... One of the things it was majorly designed to do is... Nerfing abilities like attack speed is good because it forces people to go buy new gear. Nerfing the ability to get stuff to drop out of jars was to kill the gold farmers. Okay? And...
Really, so, they nerfed what drops out of jars?
Yeah.
Your magic find also doesn't count when you're, like, kicking over barrels. And stuff.
Or chests. It doesn't count on chests anymore, either.
Yeah. That's because of farmers who were running scripts and shit.
You're right.
It's called ban them.
No, but they don't want to ban them because they're paying money.
Yeah, they're making money.
No, they do want to ban them because they'll ban them and then they'll just pay more money to
buy them. No, right, but they don't want to ban them until they've been around for a while already. Mm. Because otherwise, they wouldn't do it. They want them to keep buying new games. So, they want them to keep buying new accounts.
Okay, bottom line is that if Blizzard doesn't reform the game via patches, the game's going to run itself into the ground.
Oh, yeah. No, have you not noticed it's already started to happen?
Yeah.
Have you not noticed that stuff takes 3-4 times as long to sell in the auction house now as it did a couple of weeks ago?
It did change.
Yeah.
The change has not been small. I'm telling you, in... let's say 6 to 12 months, there's not going to be that much of a player base around for this game if Blizzard doesn't get their shit together.
I don't give a shit because Torchlight 2 is coming out. I'll just play that. Let's finish off the Diablo talk.
Because this is still what Lorenzo was doing. I don't know. Did anyone else do anything this week?
No.
Steve said nothing. Did you do anything?
I don't know. I just want to finish off the Diablo talk. Let me finish the Diablo talk, though.
Oh, okay.
I want to say, check out the videos that I posted on the site. With that guy beating Diablo on Inferno Hardcore, which is pretty awesome.
Which is insane.
He has some pretty good ideas. Article I posted today. And make sure you check out Lorenzo's spreadsheet, because it's actually really cool. You could try a few items before you decide to buy them, see which stats are really going to work best for you. Just like a try it before you fly it type thing.
Oh, right. Shit. The rhymes.
Yeah. I'm done.
The rhymes are out. Well, you posted a picture on the website of real life Michonne.
Walking Dead.
She's going to be in season 2 or 3, right?
3 now, yeah.
Okay, I saw a featurette.
Michonne.
I saw a featurette confirming that they're doing the prison. I'm very excited.
They're doing the prison.
I saw the fucking prison.
There's going to be a governor, and they showed the picture of what the governor looks like.
Does he look
badass?
He
doesn't look like the guy in the comic books.
Is it the dude that got away from the roof?
No. Okay, No. It's not him.
All right.
He will be back this season, though, from what I've been reading.
Yeah, whatever. Shane's dead. Spoiler alert.
Shane's not dead. Okay. Spoiler huge. So if you're listening to this, just like skip the next 30 seconds. In the comic books, Shane dies like the third book in.
Yep.
It is now season 3. He is still alive.
You said he died.
He didn't die.
What the fuck, man?
He is still alive.
Well, even if he had died, he would probably have come back because
okay,
he's
no.
undead.
Okay, fine. He actually died. I just wanted to piss off Steve.
Oh, okay.
He ended up dying.
He does, and then he dies again.
At the end of season 2, he dies. And it was a very anticlimactic way for him to die. It wasn't as good as the way it ended up in the comics.
Oh, man.
And, yeah, fucking stupid. But anyways, he's dead. So holy shit, that actually happened.
Good
so
shit.
So maybe they're going to streamline it a bit.
They better not fuck up that prison, because that's like the best thing that ever happened to Walking Dead.
The prison was amazing. He actually said the governor's going to be in it, and he's going to be just as bad and as, I don't know what the word he used is, but he said he's going to be like as
brutal.
Evil,
insatiable,
brutal as he was in the comics, and he said they're not going to hold that back. My thing is, they're not going to do half the shit that they do in the comic books in the fucking TV show, and I want to see how they're not going to hold back, because they're going to have to hold back.
You're talking about like rape and maiming and shit like that.
Like,
so we'll see.
Like that.
We'll see.
And even the stuff that happens at the prison with like the little girls.
Oh yeah. Oh
that
can, yeah.
That can't
that's
be on
right.
fucking TV. And we talked about this like.
That is right.
Right when we read the comics, we're like, if they make a movie or something of this, this can't be shown on. Like, there's no way. Unbelievable.
Anyway.
But that's.
Yeah,
there you go.
It was cool to see the prison, like, a real prison, and it's like, shit, they're actually doing it. They kind of couldn't not. Like, if they. Had they eluded that part of the series, I would have given up all hope, even though I already had. But, you know,
they skipped.
We'll see.
They skipped the All Dead Inside.
Yeah, well.
Or like, do not enter All Dead Inside.
Yeah.
That whole thing with the gated community that they figure we're safe in here. And the next thing they know, they're like, all the zombies like start coming out of all the houses. And they're like stuck in like a gated community. And like a few actual people from their group die as they try to escape. The comics are so much fucking better than the TV
comics
show.
Comics are so good. Every fucking issue.
Every issue is so good. Like, it actually feels like a zombie apocalypse, whereas in the TV show, characters live for so long. There's, like, outlasting relationships. There's, like, stuff that's going on. You're kind of like, yeah, this is so Hollywood. When you read the comics, it's, like, very fucking hardcore. It's very badass. It's very, like, in your face.
Catch up on that.
You're making it sound like the Rob Liefeld of comics. Just hardcore, man.
It's very hardcore.
Fucking Rob Liefeld.
Who?
I don't get
Rob
it.
Rob Liefeld.
Who?
Yeah.
Okay, anyone who follows comics whatsoever should know who Rob Liefeld is. He was the guy in the 90s who basically made everyone turn into giant musculature versions of Cable with fucking shoulder pads and fucking giant muscles that
and
don't make sense.
And one eye. Yeah.
Oh.
That flipped over with like an M on it.
Basically, 90s comic books is Rob Liefeld.
Okay, I got it.
All right,
he still got work. Still,
since we're on the topic of TVs and movies, I have good news. The good news is Paramount delays the Ninja Turtles film, the reboot one that's coming out. It has been pushed back. It was supposed to be December 2013. It is now pushed back to May 2014, and the reason is because of, and this is the best part, they're having script issues.
Yeah, no shit.
So hopefully, script issues means we're not going to make them aliens anymore.
Hold on.
We're going to make them come from the sewers.
I just want to point something out.
I don't think this is good news. I think this is just confirming our beliefs that it's going to be shit.
Given...
It totally confirms our beliefs it's going to be shit, but
the kind of absolute dreck that Hollywood already releases...
Because you're learning vocab here.
Words.
That's what we do here.
I try to help. No, that's what I do here.
Hey, we all use good words.
I use good words.
We all use good words. We're all very edumacated.
You're right. Anyhow. So anyway, I was saying, like, considering the absolute garbage that, and not in the good way, like our side, that Hollywood releases, I mean, think about how bad this script would have to be that even a bunch of Hollywood executives on a Michael Bay project, we're like, we can't let this get shot.
Yeah, that's their garbage.
That's like, wow.
Actually,
like, I can't even. It's like a
pretty bad.
This must be like the script is essentially you open and a black hole opens.
Yeah,
it is a singularity of bad writing.
Yeah, I mean, I recently like actually watched Transformers 2, and my reaction to that was just like, wow.
Right, that got made. So how bad must the script be if they're sending it back?
Actually, there was a buddy of mine when I used to work at the Rogers, the video store. And we were watching, it was
all
a movie.
All video stores.
Yeah, anyway, they're all gone now.
I know.
All the Rogers have actually been taking videos completely gone. You can't rent the video in this area.
Actually, there was a place, but anyway.
There is?
Yeah, I know. I was weirded out when I saw it. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Somebody still does this for a living? All,
everyone's replaced by like fucking machines. You push a button and be like, I want this movie. And they charge your credit card and bring it back in 2 days.
No. They've been reduced. They've been replaced by torrents.
Or torrents, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, as far as money making.
Or the Netflix.
But anyways, we're having a conversation, and I think it was about Transformers 2, and we were sitting there, and we're like, so when this went through, and actually, yes, we were talking about those two gangster type...
the racist characters.
The racist characters.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy I was talking was actually half African American, half Italian. And he was talking about this with me, and he's like, I don't get. So he's like, picture this, because this is what I picture. Whenever time a movie is being made or whatever, and they're sitting around talking about the script, a bunch of people sitting in a room, and they're talking about it, and there's a bunch of guys in suits, and they're all Caucasian, and they're all looking at it, and they go, yep, I think this is a good idea. I think this is going to do well. I think this is great. And when these characters came across their little board meeting, and they talked about it, and they said how they're going to be, why did they say that this was a good idea? And they're like, that's what I always picture. And he's like, every time I see something bad on like television or on whatever, I just picture a bunch of retarded Caucasian males sitting in a room.
Yep.
Not like just making fucking stupid decisions. Or it's like one person makes all this and everyone just agrees with them so they don't lose their fucking job.
But they're not retarded because they're raking in the dough and people fucking pay it out.
But that's the
bottom line.
Oh my god! It was just so funny when he was.
They make garbage and they cash in, and so why should they not make?
Think
garbage?
About it. Meet the Spartans made a shit ton of money.
Exactly. That's the fucking truth. It's
so did
business.
Vampire Suck and Soul Plane.
Art and business are intermingled, and that's it. You know, well, I'm not saying that to justify.
In
shit,
related news,
but anyway,
in related news. Paramount Studios also decided to push back World War Z, or World War Z for our Americans.
The fuck is that?
Wait, is that a movie
starring
about, like,
Brad Pitt?
What?
Which was supposed to come out next summer, but it got pushed back. There's no date.
What is that?
I've never heard of it.
Is that like Dragon Ball and World War II combined?
I don't know. It's called World War Z.
That would have been a short war.
Starring Brad Pitt.
And
that's all it tells me. That's all I know. That's
everybody.
It's by Paramount.
Unless there's abundance of sensu beans.
And apparently there's a budget of $170 million for that movie.
I'm sure. It's probably Brad Pitt's fucking quarter of his
paycheck. Brad Pitt gets $100 million.
Yeah.
And the movie gets $70
Seriously.
But that's all I got for news.
I would say Brad Pitt, not that great of an actor. He's a good actor.
No, he's a good actor.
Hold on.
You can't
hold
say
on.
That.
Brad Pitt is actually legitimately a great fucking actor.
I don't know. I think he's a pretty damn good actor, but I don't think any one actor gets deserves like $100 million a movie.
There's most hockey players I don't think deserve as much money as they make, but that's just how it works.
Well, yeah. Well, because
I don't know, like when I see Steve,
life, Jake.
I see Steve Buscemi, and he's a great actor. I think
sure
because
I think Edward Norton's a fantastic actor, and he doesn't get as much credit as he should.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you get all kind of.
Well, but what
he
is
got replaced
what a star goes for?
Yep.
In terms of getting them to take part in a movie is not a function of necessarily even related to the quality of their acting.
Agreed.
It's to how much traffic they are believed to be able to pull into the theaters. That's what they're being paid on. Same thing with professional athletes.
Yeah.
They're not being paid for being good people. They're being paid for their ability to put...
I'm not even saying good people,
know,
though. I'm saying like actual acting ability.
Right.
As well. Like,
right, and that's the difference.
Like, when people... What's that fucking guy's name? He played Batman in, like, Batman in the last two shitty Batman movies.
Christian Bale.
No. The last two shitty Batman movies.
Oh, Val Kilmer?
No.
George Clooney.
He was
like,
okay.
George Clooney gets paid money in Hollywood.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
why?
But, no.
No, why?
he does a lot of crappy movies.
It's because he's a good looking
man. But he also actually is not a terrible actor in dramatic roles. And actually, I think he deserves some credit for getting a lot of interesting projects made. He will get projects made that he thinks are interesting, even though they wouldn't normally have mainstream Hollywood appeal, like Syriana and a bunch of other movies like that, where he's actually been really good.
And he was on Roseanne, man.
He was?
Don't fuck around. What? He was on Roseanne.
Fuck.
Watch Roseanne.
Wow. He was on Roseanne?
Oh, yeah. Nobody remembers
what? I used to watch that show.
I know. He wasn't a regular. Actually, he might have became a regular. He wasn't always there, but he was on Roseanne.
That's fucking
I'm just saying, and you're like, nobody George Clooney on fucking Roseanne.
Was he one of those characters in the last season who didn't exist?
Let's not go there. Let's not go. Oh, but I want to recount a fucked up dream I had.
Holy fuck, he was in Roseanne.
Are you kidding? You want to recount the dream?
A fucked up dream. This better be good. It's, I don't know how good it is, but it involves Mark Ruffalo and Married with Children. So here we go.
They're, okay.
For some reason, I was, it must have been like the 90s, right? And I was on set during a taping of Married with Children. And like, I was watching the fucking scene play out with the punchline and the buildup and everything. And like, when I woke up, you know, later on, it was never an episode I've actually seen. Like, my mind invented a fucking Married with Children scene, and it was great. I'm taking credit for it. So anyway, they cut the scene, right? And then the guy who plays Al Bundy walks over, and then Mark Ruffalo's there, like, in a trench coat, and he's an investigator, and he's, like, questioning Al Bundy, the actor. And I'm standing there thinking, like, holy shit, well, it's a young, unknown Mark Ruffalo. I know. Yeah, I don't remember his name. Right, something? No. Ed something?
The hell do I know? Are you kidding? I haven't seen that show in, like, 10 years.
Him and Mark Ruffalo are talking, and I'm thinking the whole time, like, Mark Ruffalo's a nobody. Here he is, like, in his first acting role. It made no sense at all. And then I woke up, and I was like, I just fucking wrote Married with Children in my mind.
There you go. Then you just gotta go back in time and actually make a new season of that show.
God, that show was so bad, but it was funny.
Do you guys remember there was a show that was like Married with Children, but it wasn't?
Unhappily Ever After.
Yeah, oh my god, that chick on that show was with that ridiculous. Chick. It was the one with the puppet.
Yeah. What the fuck?
What was his name? No,
I never watched that show. I just remember seeing that and thinking, like, why would I watch this when Married with Children is on?
That was, like, the only competition to Married with Children.
Yeah. It was a fucking hilarious show. What are you talking about?
I watched both. They were back to back. Anyway.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about parlor games on vehicular riding bikes.
Yes. What? Card games on motorcycles.
What?
He posted an article today. That's card games on motorcycles.
Oh, scrolls?
No, there was no actual card games on motorcycles.
And some guy posted parlor games on vehicular riding bikes.
In relation to the Meme of the Week on turning...
maybe. It could have possibly
been. Well, no, that's... Right, yes, that's a whole shtick of, like, turning memes or internet sayings into, like, really old speech.
Yeah.
Hmm.
People just do that all the time.
It started on the black hole at the center of the internet, as everything else does in internet humor.
Yeah. So
4chan.
So I still like the
started
exhibit.
On 4chan. Eh?
Yeah,
everything
exhibits
pretty like much starts on 4chan.
Everything starts and dies on 4chan. Jay, hit us with some news. What do we got for tech? What do we got for games?
News.
Jay's the news guy. Give us the news.
All right, guys, I gotta put on my news jacket. Just hang on a moment. Alright, there we go. Okay.
So, what kind of jacket is that?
I don't know, but it sounded like Vegeta powering up.
But anyways, not quite. I didn't cry.
You know, my favorite intro from a newscaster is, Jane, you ignorant slut.
They are making Anchorman 2, aren't they?
Yep, they are.
It's a good
thing.
Happening. I'm happy about that.
A reference to the Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah, I know. I was just curious that they're making Anchorman 2, because...
Yeah.
It's happening. That's Will's vagina.
Let's start off with some game news, because we got news this week. I gotta talk about news every week, because that's what I do.
So why don't you do that thing?
I don't know, man.
Do it.
Do that thing you do. Don't even play the song.
All right. Okay, you guys know what Team Fortress 2 is?
Sure.
No.
Fuck.
I've never heard of Valve.
Alright, well.
Never heard of Valve.
Just this week, they announced that they are doing the Pyromancer update for this week. So there's going to be a bunch of things that they're going to be revealing as the week goes on. Today is Monday, so the only thing that they revealed so far was the Doomsday map that will be coming out with this update, which is essentially
names are update Pyromancer?
Yes, because the Pyromancer... Well, no.
Yeah, a lot of fire. I'm just
sorry, not Pyromancer. It's
just a
Pyro
in a left field here.
It's the Pyromania update, because at the end of the week, they're going to release the final Meet the Class video, which would be Meet the Pyro.
Oh.
All the other classes got videos already, like
right.
Soldier, Scout, all that other shit. But anyways, the only thing they revealed so far about this update is that it comes with new achievements and a new map called Doomsday, which is a new game type where... it's basically attack and defend, where one team gets a nuclear arming device and they have to fight their way towards a doomsday device to start the doomsday device, and the other team has to stop. So, free update, free game. I don't know, sounds like a good thing all around.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm going to try it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm happy about this. I paid for Team Fortress 2 a long ass time ago, but, you know.
Pretty sure I got it for free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you guys all got it for free, because it was just like, hey, it's free now. All right, I got it now. Yeah. Anyways, moving on. We have Far Cry 3, which I think we talked a little bit about on the E3 podcast.
Yeah.
That's that open-world first-person shooter from Ubisoft. It has been delayed till December... Let me see here. December 4th. So a lot of people have been saying this is kind of a dumb move on their part, because, well... I don't see why they would delay it other than it's not ready, because mm-hmm. if you release a game after Black Friday in the United States of America, that is just a way to make sure that you don't sell very much, because most of the game buying for people for the holiday season is Black Friday.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. The game's delayed. If you were looking forward to Far Cry 3...
You may also get trampled trying to buy something.
Yeah, it's
Black
Ubisoft. Whatever.
Yeah. Actually, I did Black Friday in Minneapolis, St. Paul, the sister cities thing. It's not bad there. So if you're going to go anywhere, go to St. Paul, I guess.
By the way, the new Assassin's Creed looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be out before.
Which
it looks
hilarious,
cool.
Considering that the initial opinions given by several members of this podcast were that an Assassin's Creed game set during the American Revolution was going to be shit.
Actually, that's because we thought it was going to be a lot of American hoopla.
Yeah.
But actually, when you realize he's on both sides and all he really cares about is taking out the Templars, I'm back. Yeah.
Hey, all I gotta say is if I get to stab bears with knives, I'm good.
Anyways, let's continue.
Yes. All right. I have a quick question for you guys. Which of the games that Square Enix has made do you think would have been the most profitable for them?
Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII? All right, Steve. Do you have a guess?
Were they Square Enix during VII?
Well,
yeah, they
doesn't
were Square Enix.
The most
no,
profitable
they were only Square
games.
That
no,
game.
Sorry. Hold on. You mean the most profitable game they've ever made?
Yes.
Yeah, 7.
No, it's not. It's either 4 or 6 because of how many platforms they've released.
I don't know. I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say, because he's asking us this question, they're iPhone games.
No. All right. So he thinks the iPhone games. Steve, what is your guess?
He's asking us this question.
I'm
thinking the most outrageous
like
answer.
4, 8, 9, and 10.
All right. Well,
so I don't know.
You're all wrong.
All right.
Apparently the most profitable game that Square Enix has ever made was Final Fantasy XI Online, that MMO that came out for the PS2 and PC way back in, 2002, I believe?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh, right. They had an MMO.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm not surprised, because that MMO, while I'm pretty sure the population on it is not that good right now, they nickel and dime the fuck out of you in that game back in 2002. I remember that specifically. Like, you started out that game with, one character slot... And if you wanted to, switch servers, you had to pay. If you wanted to have more than one character, you had to pay an extra dollar per month per character.
Right, but, I mean, I don't think that's entirely a fair comparison, though. If you would go strictly on original game sales as opposed to subscriptions, I think 6 would still win.
I have a feeling that would probably be the case.
Only because
6 or
it's
4.
Been released on so many... Yeah. It's been released so many damn times.
4 has been released on 5 different platforms.
Right.
So, actually, I think 6. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But
you
yeah,
gave me, three different ones.
I gave you 3 different copies of that game. But yeah, Final Fantasy XI is the most profitable game, and this comes at around the same time that the creator, or I don't know if it's the creator, but the main lead on that game has actually just left Square Enix due to health issues.
Mm.
So,
It's too stressed out.
Yeah.
Too stressed out. It's just kind of funny to me, because apparently Final Fantasy
Shame.
XI is
Shame
still...
Shame is taking a toll.
Yeah.
I'd be stressed out working with Square Enix right now.
Fuck.
I don't know if any of you guys remember this, but Final Fantasy XI Online was that game where there was a group of 40 people trying to kill a boss for, 48 hours.
Sounds like, wow.
And they failed because people started passing out and vomiting because they've been up for so long and they just weren't getting anywhere. So, yeah. Final Fantasy XI Online, probably a better game than Final Fantasy XIV Online.
cool.
Yeah.
That's not set by the way, that, very high.
But that video that Trevor posted about that Final Fantasy preview, that looked like good shit.
That was just an engine.
But that's just a cinematic.
Yeah,
like, it's still it was a cool cinematic.
Okay, that's exactly right.
That's hold on a second. Shit game. But
hold on a
second.
Good. For all of Square Enix's many hundreds of faults,
yeah,
making excellent cinematics has never been one of them.
Definitely.
If anything, too many cinematics has tended to be the fault in many of their games. Where it's like, am I watching a movie or playing a video game?
Yeah, their CG department is actually very good at what they do.
Yeah.
With the exception of like where a lot of people of the Hitman franchise were really pissed off at this when they made that Battle of the Nuns trailer, which has absolutely nothing to do with the game whatsoever. It's just Square Enix made this trailer. Like, we had our CG department make this trailer, so now everyone thinks it's an action game when it's really a stealth game. So yeah, good job Square Enix on that one too.
I didn't understand that trailer because...
No, that has nothing to do with the game. That doesn't even happen in the game.
I know.
They just made it.
I was like, first thing after I saw, I'm like... But he killed all the nuns. So then who is he fighting in the game? And then I read that it has nothing to do with the game, and I'm like, so why don't I just waste my time watching a trailer for something that makes no...
Because LOL Square Enix.
Yeah, pretty much. Square Enix. Anyways, moving on. This is the last game story of the day. They've announced pre-order bonuses for Dead or Alive 5. You guys familiar with the Dead or Alive fighting game franchise?
Yeah, she kicks high.
Yeah, she kicks high. What do you guys think the pre-order bonuses would be?
I don't care.
I'm going to say blow-up dolls.
No.
Yeah, I'm always wrong today.
Gel-filled fake breasts.
No.
Fleshlights.
Like stress toys.
Fleshlights?
No.
Hookers.
No. Okay, you guys are thinking way too hard on this. It's literally just something as stupid as bikinis.
So to speak.
Yeah. All right, the pre-order bonuses are downloadable DLC packs, which give you costumes for 3 female characters each.
Great.
So pretty much you get bikinis for... If you pre-order at GameStop, you get bikinis for... Kasumi, Li Feng, and Hitomi. And if you pre-order on Amazon, you get bikinis for Christy, Tina, and Ayane.
I'm pre-ordering both places.
Yeah. Oh, well,
this is a fighting game.
You don't even have to do that, because if you pre-order the Collector's Edition, which is available exclusively at GameStop, not only do you get a steel case, a soundtrack CD, but you also get all of the swimsuits. That is what it was described, just all of the swimsuits.
I gotta go.
A fighting game where more time in the physics engine was spent on the breast mechanics than on anything else.
Actually, Dead or Alive as a fighting game, I found pretty fun. I like the whole rock, paper, scissors mechanic of it. But yeah, they spent way too much time on just making the breast jiggle. It was just like, what are you doing?
You mean like Alex Kidd?
The whole physics engine.
Yes, Alex Kidd spent way too much time on making the breasts jiggle.
No, Alex Kidd spent way too much time playing rock, paper, scissors in his game.
Oh, well, I guess. No, but I like the rock, paper, scissors. It's basically like attack, counter, or block type of thing.
And you should get a Genesis.
I do have a Genesis.
You should.
I got it for half a pack of Joy Matches and 10 bucks.
Actually, I sold my Genesis to Fun for my PS3.
Oh,
my PS,
shit.
My PS1, sorry.
Oh, shit.
PS3.
That was a good barter.
A Genesis.
10 bucks in a pack
Mike
of Joy
Matches. Mike put it on the auction house.
I traded in my Genesis.
Anyways,
what's next?
Let's move on to some technology.
Oh, I got a tech news.
You got a tech news? All right, Steve.
I got a tech news.
I'm not going to let you say your tech news yet.
We're on
I'm
games. Never mind.
Games is done. There's no more game news.
Right.
Unless you got game news.
No, I don't have news, but I have a mini review. But we'll
mini review.
End.
Well, whatever. We'll do some mini reviews. Yeah, anyways, do you guys know what Spotify is? I'm pretty sure you don't, because it's not available in Canada.
I do.
Say it again.
You do know what Spotify is?
Spotify? I don't know what that is.
What
it is a music streaming service, not unlike... what is that one in Canada? I don't even know.
Last.fm?
There's Last.fm. There's the other one, like the Pandora.
Pandora's
only in the States, though.
Yeah, but really? Last.fm is better than...
Last.fm's good.
Last.fm's awesome, actually.
Yeah. Well,
big fan
pretty
of
much music streaming service.
Is that the one where they make you go on Facebook, and then every time you listen to a song, you like post what song
you
listen to on Facebook?
No.
What's
anyways,
that one? Because I've seen that before.
I don't know.
That's some bullshit.
I have no idea.
Ardeo is the one that's available in Canada. Ardeo is the one that's available in Canada.
Don't ask me. Listen,
anyways,
some music is
Spotify
not,
is coming to BlackBerry, guys.
Who the fuck cares?
No. I found this story somewhat so hilarious.
Rim is going to be insolvent in 12 to 24 months. Why does anybody care?
No, but that's the whole point. Like, they announced that, yeah, BlackBerry, like, hey guys, we got Spotify in the US markets. But the only real market that Rim still has is in Canada, which Spotify isn't available in. So, what? Why do you even bother? Why?
They don't give a fuck anymore.
I don't get it.
Whatever, Rim.
So, all the executives are jumping.
They're all
going to
lose their
rim rats on a sinking ship.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. If you're in the States and you still have a BlackBerry with, I think, OS 7 or higher support, you can get Spotify now, I guess.
Cool.
Good for you.
Nice. You can also get a cover made out of dinosaur bone.
Really?
For your phone. because, you know, it's of approximately the same vintage.
Oh, that was a joke. I thought that was something actually being made.
No.
Like, cool some guy's like, fuck, we got nothing else left. Let's make dinosaur bone cases.
That would be hilarious.
That would
Anyways,
be pretty good.
Let's move on to some Facebook news. You guys heard about the... What is this? This was a new service that they just launched at the end of this weekend. It was called Friendshake. It was a service that allowed you to find friends in
that's
your...
Cool. That's helpful for some people.
Yeah, no, yes, exactly.
Nicely played.
It was a service that helps you find friends in the surrounding area where you live. Now,
that's what I want to do.
That's what I want to do. I want to tell Facebook my home address.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what I want to do.
Apparently Facebook... That's the funny thing. Like they just sort of they pushed this over at the
Don't
weekend. Everyone
question.
Was all like, "Hey, you know, try this out. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you could find yourself some friends." As of 3 p.m. today, Facebook shut down the service
because
so,
people were being stalked.
Probably.
Wow.
It's very likely.
That takes Facebook stalking to a whole new level.
Facebook's fucked, eh? Like,
yeah.
They had like no business sense at all. No common sense, for that matter.
Well, they paid $1 billion for Instagram and then
yeah, like,
made their own Instagram.
They're just whack. I don't even have a word for it. Do you?
The only reason they're still
it's
around...
called, this is what happens
that's not a word.
When you're running around laughing, throwing piles of other people's hundreds into the air.
Yeah.
And your name is Mark Zuckerberg.
And hey, you man, look like an elf.
I wish him the best. Whatever. Fuck it. I don't even give a fuck. Anyways, we got some more news from the Facebook front. Do you guys know that Facebook, actually just today, they sort of stealth changed everyone's default email to an at Facebook email?
Yeah, and I'm hoping that I don't get any more, you'd liked something. Your friend posted something to your other friend that didn't even tag you in it, but we're going to email you anyway. Hopefully that doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I found this whole thing hilarious that they just sort of did it. They didn't even say anything, and it came like much later in the day today that they
Hold
finally...
Hold on a second. You mean they changed your default contact email that they contact you at?
They changed the default email for your account to an at Facebook email.
It'll
oh,
be...
Right, okay, that's good.
Name dot
yeah, yeah,
last
yeah,
name
no, that's good. That way
Facebook.
I won't get any
com.
Of their emails, and they can go die in a fire.
The funny thing is everyone was, like, posting today, like, how do you change this? How do you change it? A bunch of guides posted up. It's basically just saying, like, switch it back to my old email. I can't believe they did this, like, stealthily without even asking anyone, but later on
in the
day...
Why would this surprise you?
No, well, now when people
because
are sending out resumes,
stupid.
They can include their Facebook email if somebody wants to get back to them. It's great.
I guess. Yeah. Apparently, I don't know.
You do that.
They finally actually released a statement today where they noted, they said, as we announced back in April, we've been updating addresses on Facebook to make them consistent across our site. In addition to everyone receiving an address, we're also rolling out a new setting that gives people the choice to decide which addresses they want to show on their timelines. Ever since the launch of Timeline, people have had the ability to control what posts they want to show or hide on their own timelines, and today we're extending that to other information they post, starting with Facebook.
I still have that shit.
Starting with
off.
The Facebook address. How do you still have that turned off? They automatically switch it for me when the day
no,
came.
I have no timeline.
I don't have timeline on mine either.
I don't have timeline.
Well, then what the fuck happened
fuck
to me?
Fuck that timeline bullshit.
You got fucked, dude. You got timelined.
So did the Facebook page. I didn't even do anything.
Let's give people control over something we
yeah,
shut down
TYG,
their throats.
See, my way I logged in, it says, introducing timeline, a new kind of profile. Get
yeah.
timeline. No.
Skip that.
Never clicking that.
Like, honestly?
No, thank you.
I've said this. I may have said this before on the podcast. If not, I will say it now. I only have Facebook for private groups.
Yep.
And
yep.
events.
Events.
I don't post on Facebook. I don't go on Facebook. I have as little of my personal information on Facebook as
yep.
humanly possible. And if you are not on a very small list of people that I actually know in real life, you don't see anything on my profile. You don't see my wall. You don't see my pictures. You don't see stuff I'm tagged in. You don't see anything. Because if I don't know you well enough in real life that you would know what's going on in my life, then you don't need to know what's fucking going on in my life.
Yeah.
And you can mind your own fucking business.
No, really.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Facebook is,
Elf.
Honestly, the best way to communicate information to a bunch of people for groups... For events? How much easier is it for me sending 100 text messages or whatever text messages to people instead of just going on the Facebook group? And you coming? You're not coming. You click a button. If you don't click a button, you're probably not coming.
Yeah.
Right? People don't have to say, I'm not coming. You just don't click the button. And you're not coming.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the best way to do it. For when we have our TYG stuff, we just communicate on Facebook. It's actually amazing.
No, I use it more as a messenger service than anything else.
Yeah, for that it's phenomenal. But for everything else, fuck it. I don't ever use it.
Yeah, the one thing that kind of pisses me off about Facebook, for the event stuff specifically, is that their absolute refusal to use anything except Bing Maps for events. It's like, okay, the event takes place here, and it just gives you a Bing Maps link, and the Bing Maps link doesn't have the address of where you're actually going, so if you wanted to put the address somewhere else, you couldn't. It was just like, no, we showed you a dot in the map. Fucking guess where you're supposed to go. Like, just figure it out.
Did Binging ever, like, increase in its popularity?
Bing?
I remember when they started releasing Bing, there was, like, a whole bunch of Twitter stuff going crazy. I remember Olivia Munn was one of the ones, like, she's at, like, the big thing, and she's one of the people promoting it. Like, they're like, oh, Bing it, just Bing it.
I'd like to Bing her.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Bing it. Everything needs to be Binged. But
I have no idea.
I know. I've never used it.
Bing's probably getting some more use thanks to the whole, like, integration with Xbox 360. But honestly, it's, why use it when you can just use Google, which does the exact same thing?
Yeah.
There's no second being, even if you're as good as the first product to market, there's no point because you're second to market. Everyone already uses the thing that was first to market. So what the fuck?
Yeah, you have to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bing is just, Bing is probably as good as Googling something, but
I don't think
what's
so,
the point?
Personally.
I've never used it, so
what
I can't
even say. For search engine or for maps?
I'm saying for a search engine.
No, for search engine, you got to use DuckDuckGo. That's what you got to use.
I never
because it's the only search engine that doesn't track what you search and doesn't bubble you based on your previous searches. So it doesn't, like, reorder results based on what it thinks you like.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo, guys.
Anyways, that is all the game and tech news for this week.
I just want to talk about the Sims Social game.
It came out.
Since we're talking about Facebook, this game is, and when they announced it and they're talking about it on E3, they said that it's going to be, like, a different type of social game, that it wasn't going to be, like, your regular Facebook game, and it's going to be interactive and the blah, 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 and the blah, 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 blah. Pretty much it was all bullshit. This game is pretty much a Facebook game. Your friends show up as residences in your city. The game prompts you to share every action on your wall. Like, every action. Sometimes it comes up and says, would you like to share this? Or you did this, share it. And you can hit no. Sometimes you can't. So today when I was playing the game, I went back to my walls. Like, a few things that are posted there, I'm like, I didn't say it could do this. But it did it. So then I went back and deleted everything.
Well, it's EA for you.
It's fucking stupid. But it's pretty much the same thing. So you invite people to play to get bonuses. There's free gifts. Stuff like same kind of bullshit. It's turn-based. It consumes your energy. You have your buildings that will, like, generate money and goods for you automatically, which have to come back in, like, a few hours. You spend energy to collect outputs. Structures take 3 to 4 clicks to build, which makes it so you need more energy to actually do shit.
So it's Cityville.
Yeah, they asked. Yeah, they said they were making something different.
Cityville.
They said they weren't doing something like Farmville, or they weren't doing something like Cityville. They were going to try to do something different. It's literally the same thing. And pretty much they ask you for your pocket money very, very early in the game. So, like, there's diamonds, which you could get diamonds as you level up, or you could buy diamonds. But if you want to get diamonds as you level up, you'll be playing the game for 30 years to actually do anything and get anything good. Like, I'm not even kidding.
Right.
It's actually stupid.
So much like Diablo 3.
Yeah. Like, it'll just continue until you spend money. So, which means you pretty much need to buy diamonds if you want to do anything in this game. And the other thing that pisses me off is that's, like, the whole cycle of the game. The game is not tough. And I'll explain this with one simple thing. If you're playing a SimCity game, and I could build an industrial building next to a residential building, and there is no negative repercussion to that, why the fuck am I playing a SimCity game? If I could build roads that lead to nowhere, and people still drive on them, what the fuck is going on here? And that's essentially what this game is.
It's a road to nowhere?
It's like...
Sounds like the U.S.
The game is like...
Nicely played, Jay.
There is... I feel like there was no thought put into it. Like, give me a little bit of city building.
Why would they put any thought into a
Facebook
game?
But if they did, would you still play it?
Is this even as good as, like, the Simpsons Springfield game?
It's pretty much kind of the same thing.
So it's the same fucking game.
The same idea. You just unlock characters like you do in that game, but, like... When that happened and I put the thing down and I still got all my bonuses for building the city, and I'm like, but it's next to a factory. Like, there's no way. And, like, people were happy. They're like, oh, I'm happy I'm living next to a factory. I'm like, no, you know,
I'm happy I'm living next to a factory. Malaria.
Yeah.
Well, not malaria.
Zombie malaria.
Like,
hey.
I got bronchitis.
I like the only thing, the only, like, thing that is, like, decent, which wears off pretty rather quickly, is the fact that the game, you can pretty much like make birds come and poo on your neighbor's property, and like,
oh my god,
it's like stop. Vandalism.
Just stop.
And like, I really feel like the game is petty vandalism. Begging for your friends to play and having to spend money. It's boring.
Honestly,
it's shit. I'm not playing it anymore. And that's all I have to say about
the social
game.
I could make the helicopter crash 10 years ago.
It's fucked.
Yeah.
I don't need... In 10 years development, we've regressed from being able to crash a helicopter into a building by clicking on it to...
Birds pooing.
Burns pooing. Yeah, it's great.
You know, that being said, I am looking forward to the new SimCity game that they're... The actual, like, real SimCity game that the Maxis is making.
Yes.
Because that game had the whole... That game has an online mechanic that actually sounds like a cool idea. Like, you build cities.
You're right.
And you're online, and you have neighboring cities which are actually affected by your city. So you can actually make... Someone could make, like, this fantastic, like... utopia city that runs on the cleanest green energy in the world and everyone's all fucking happy, and then you can have someone else just show up right next to you, build a city right next to you that is like Smogsville, and it fucks up the guy next to you. It's like, fuck, Smogsville's
so
right next to
me. Let me tell
you
what's going to happen then.
You're going to have a bunch of trolls making
Smogsville. The entire map is going to be full of cities that do as much damage to neighboring cities as possible.
Probably.
Because people troll.
But I still like the idea of the new SimCity game.
And I like the ideas. I like the ideas as well, and I like what they're saying about the game. But if this is any, like, I don't know,
any indication?
Precursor to what the fuck is going to be in this new game, I'm actually pretty upset because they promised a game that wasn't like another Facebook game, and it's like
it's
more
just
of a Facebook game than I've ever seen in my entire life.
How about they just come up with a new idea?
I don't know. Anyways, you guys can try it. I wouldn't suggest it.
No.
And that's all I have to say.
Because EA
it.
Doesn't need any more of my personal information, and that's what I would
or
have
money.
To need. Yeah. Fuck. I'm not sacrificing any more of my information to EA, especially after they... What was it? I had an Origin account because I decided, okay, I'm going to make an Origin account to play the Battlefield 3 beta. And then they took my Origin email, used that as a way to find out what games I purchased off Steam, and then fucking said, okay, now we have these games that you purchased on Steam, but they're on Origin now.
What?
It's like, what? No, I didn't. Why are all my Steam games on Origin now? Why did you do this? What the fuck, EA?
Yeah.
I don't know. EA's fucked up.
Yeah.
EA's fucked up. Not a fan.
Steve, tech.
Yes, Steve, you have the last tech news story for all time.
Cool. So here's...
I am interested
in. We could only hope.
Here's the deal. Black boxes are coming to vehicles in the U.S. as of 2015.
Does this include motorcycles?
Good question.
Fit a black box on a motorcycle.
I don't know. A new bill passed by the Senate in March calls for mandatory event data recorders to be installed in all new passenger motor vehicles sold in the U.S. for recording data before, during, or after a crash. As stated in the bill, the government would have the power to access it in a number of circumstances, whatever
The government?
I don't know. Yes, the government. Now, people are speculating, this is a bit of a leap, but not that far-fetched. Technology in the UK has been developed. It's biometric face recognition and transdermal sensor technology that prevents an inebriated person from driving a car by disabling the automobile. In addition, the systems refuse to allow the vehicle to start if the driver is deemed to be overtired. So they think that all these various technologies will eventually converge, and the government's going to know, like, your driving habits, and there's going to be say over whether your car is going to start or not.
Okay, but
as soon as you get in
there. That strikes me as a very large leap. I would be much more inclined to associate the installation of event data recorders in every car with remotely tracked and automatically police speed limits than I would with any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's much more... Like, because if you put a GPS in an event data recorder, it's basically now, you know, the event data recorder knows where your car is, how fast it's going, and what direction at all times.
Right.
That seems to me like a much more obvious threat from this direction than the convergence with those other systems.
I agree. It's a big leap. They're saying that this technology is going to lead to all this Big Brother shit.
Yeah.
I think the wording in that is very specific, though, where they said all cars sold in the U.S., so maybe a bunch of people start buying shit from Canada. Canada and Mexico.
Are overpriced
it's
cars?
Essentially, it's essentially...
For the exact same car?
Often impractical to do that.
Probably.
All right, we have one last thing to talk about. I'm going to throw the ball to Lorenzo because he
came across a dated but very interesting article via BBC.
Yeah. So basically, I was browsing on Reddit, as I'm occasionally wont to do, and I was in the Today I Learned section, which is always fascinating for the little factoids that people find out and post there. And I came across a BBC News article from 2005 that talks about a small outbreak of quote-unquote zombieism in a small town and near the border of Laos in northeastern Cambodia. Basically, they discovered a super virulent strain of malaria that had a 100% mortality rate. But the really weird thing is that this strain of malaria was managing to actually restart the victims' hearts after their death, and for up to 2 hours they were walking around undead and attacking other people because they were extremely violent in this state. They were effectively zombies for a couple of hours after death. I saw this, I was like, the fuck? Are you kidding me? Wait, what? I had to read the article twice because I didn't believe it the first time. I'm like, this is what? This is on the BBC.
This was 7 years ago.
Yeah, this is actually right? 7 years ago.
And I didn't hear about this until now.
Yeah.
Like, people died and fucking had the whole, like, wait 2 minutes and then they come back and, you know, I start attacking everyone. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I just thought that was incredibly bizarre. I was never planning to talk about it on the podcast, but I mentioned it because before we started recording it, and everybody here was like, oh, you have to fucking talk about this.
Yeah, you gotta say that.
You gotta mention it because I don't think a lot of people know.
That is fucked up.
That's actually really fucking scary.
It's really fucking scary. Yep.
That's all I have to say about it.
Apparently it's under control, though. I mean, we haven't heard about it since. I mean, there was that one guy in...
Says the Cambodian government.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess. There was that one guy in California who like bit off the other guy's face, but he wasn't a zombie, I don't think.
He was just American. Oops.
I think he was I think he was just a crackhead. He was
bleep? I don't know.
Oh my god.
He was David
Duchovny. You just went there. You went the whole way there.
He was David Duchovny in season 6 of Californication.
We may or may not bleep just said. But anyway.
We post bleeped it.
Alright. Alright, so does anybody else have something
to say?
No,
you can't bleep it because then people are going to think we said something much worse than what you actually
said.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. No. Alright, so assuming that it was not bleeped.
He said American.
I'm not sorry, but...
In America.
You know,
in America.
You know, we mean well. Anyway, we make jokes. Sometimes they hurt. But anyway...
That's what we do here. We kid.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to episode 31 of That's Your Garbage Podcast. Please email us at podcast@thatsyourgarbage.com and visit the website for new and exciting things. Also, if you may or may not have noticed that we haven't done jokes in like a month. And I said like
four weeks ago that
I was going to stop unless people emailed us demanding that we continue. And nobody has. So no more jokes, guys, unless you really want them. Let us know.